This year, the day of Vaisakha Puja has come around once again, 2,569 years after our Buddha entered Parinibbana. Let us study the life of the perfectly self-awakened Buddha. When he was born, he was also an ordinary human being. But what made him different was his mindfulness and wisdom. He was a human being above all humans through his wisdom and accumulated spiritual perfections, his barami. The Buddha possessed the highest spiritual potential. All human beings also possess potential, but we are unable to develop our highest potential to understand the Dhamma by ourselves. But the supreme teacher, the perfectly self-awakened Buddha, was a human being with the highest potential in developing his own mind. Until he was able to develop his mind to attain knowledge and understanding of the Dhamma, and attain enlightenment through his own efforts. But let us look that before the Buddha was able to attain enlightenment by himself, in his final birth as Prince Siddhartha, he had contemplated, reflected upon, and sought the truth about nature, that there is darkness and there is light, there is birth and there is death. But after being born, he saw so much suffering. Even when one has everything, one must still be separated from it by death. This is how it is for everyone, for all beings, without exceptions. This is a great suffering, a great danger. Therefore he sought a way out. He looked for it outside of the ordinary ways of thinking, and strove to train and develop himself. And this was from his accumulated merits and virtues, together with the completeness of mindfulness and wisdom. And it wasn't easy to be able to cultivate and perfect these virtues in this way. It took 20 incalculable aeons and 100,000 kalpas, an immensely long time. Every human being can do this. They can make such an aspiration and can develop towards becoming a perfectly self-awakened Buddha. And although there are countless people who wish for such a goal, those who truly aspire to it, but those who remain determined and successfully fulfill these spiritual perfections are very few indeed. Then, in his final life, the Buddha studied under many teachers who were skilled and experts in training the mind through samadhi, meditation, in order to discover eternal happiness. He learned quickly and deeply, to the point that those teachers entrusted him with being a teacher in their place to lead their disciples, because the teachers themselves had grown old and would eventually leave this world. But through the Bodhisattva's wisdom, he reflected that this was still not to the highest level. There must be a path even higher than this. This is what no ascetics or practitioners in that era were able to conceive of, because their mindfulness and wisdom was not sufficient. But the Buddha continued his search, experimenting, making mistakes, testing different methods, fasting, refusing food, torturing the body, and holding in his breath. His body became emaciated, and he fainted 3 times, yet he did not die. Because he had deprived himself of food so severely, his body became extremely thin. He entered deep absorptions and meditation continuously in his search, but he still did not succeed. And there was no one who could have endured such extreme self-torture beyond this, because they didn't have the highest levels of meditation and accumulated perfections required to become a perfectly self-awakened Buddha. And at that time, it was believed that unless one practiced self-torture to the utmost extreme, no one could attain the deathless state, which was what the 5 ascetics thought the Panchavagya, who attended to the Bodhisattva devotedly and possessed the greatest faith in him. When the Buddha turned back to taking food again, the five ascetics thought that there was no longer any possibility for the Buddha to attain enlightenment, and that he would never discover the higher Dhammas. Therefore, the five ascetics left him and went to the deer park at Isipatana in search of liberation on their own, because they had lost faith in the Buddha. But the Buddha instead discovered the correct path, that first this body must be strengthened and maintained in good condition. He realized that no matter how much self-torture was practiced, it was fruitless, and thus returned to the path of practice known as the Middle Way, which the perfectly self-awakened Buddha had discovered through his own investigation, and because this potential already existed within him. In the end, he entered deep meditative absorption, discovered the path, contemplated deeply, and gave rise to wisdom. He saw that all things arise, remain for a time, and then pass away. They follow according to causes and conditions, which we call the 12 links of dependent origination, or iddhapaccayata. The Buddha clearly understood dukkha, suffering, the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the path of practice leading to the end of suffering. Thus, he completely eradicated the mental defilements. The Buddha was able to abandon all his former habits entirely. All the old tendencies were completely let go of and transformed to becoming a Buddha, being a Sammasambuddha, a perfectly self-awakened one. Can you see how the Buddha's potential was developed to the highest possible point, beyond what anyone else could achieve, and becoming the perfectly self-awakened Buddha? The Buddha used this potential not merely for his own benefit alone, not just to dwell in the happiness until entering Parinibbana, but through the Buddha's loving kindness and immeasurable, boundless, great compassion, the Buddha also enabled others to realize the truth as he had. He enabled the five ascetics, the disciples, the laymen and laywomen, and all people to know and see the Dhamma and to attain realization following the Buddha. We can see that the Buddha had gained benefit for himself and then gave immense benefit to others, to the world, to all human beings, and to the Devas and Brahmas. The Buddha possessed compassion and loving kindness beyond all limits and measure. When the important day in the Buddhist calendar arrives, the day of the Vaisak full moon celebration, then, being children, we go to the monastery and know that this day is a great merit-making day, truly a very important day. And if we went to join the candle circumambulation on this day and paid homage to the Buddha, then just circumambulating 3 times around, which wouldn't take long, no more than 20 minutes, then we would gain great merit. This was how our ancestors instilled these beliefs in us. As children, we also used to do this, and we already gained much merit from it. But afterwards, we returned again to following our likes and moods, following our desires, following greed, anger, and delusion. And then when the important Buddhist holy day comes around again the following year, we gather again. In the beginning, this becomes our habit and supporting conditions. And later on, when we wish to further develop our habits and transform our old tendencies, then we must practice according to the principles of sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, or what is called a noble truth. This is the most important, called the truth of the noble path leading to the end of suffering. When we walk upon the noble path that is good and supreme, then we develop the wisdom that can extinguish the defilements, and then Nirodha, cessation of suffering, can arise by seeing suffering itself. So we contemplate the noble truth of suffering, that once we are born, we must experience aging, sickness, death, and separation from one another as being something normal. We see this, hear about this, and know about this already. Yet when someone close to us dies, turmoil and distress arises. We grieve and sorrow, because we do not see the truth. But if we listen, reflect, and contemplate what the wise teachers and noble masters teach us, eventually wisdom will arise. It is like the villagers near Wat Nongpa Phong, whom Venerable Ajahn Chah taught, until they came to see death as being something natural and ordinary. Nowadays, no one cries and no one grieves, because they see that this is simply the natural way of things. No one can escape this condition. Thus they accept and honor the natural order of things. It is through accepting and honoring this naturalness that they are able to see and understand the Dhamma. The Buddha, with great loving kindness and compassion, brought his Dhamma to teach all people, the monks, novices, nuns, laymen and laywomen, for 45 years. He did this without a single day of rest, without any holiday or break. Any person whose merit and accumulated virtues were sufficiently mature, upon hearing the Buddha's teachings, would transform their minds, transform their heart, and transform their habits, from being coarse and stubborn into being people of morality, taking the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha as their refuge throughout their entire life. Those whose character and accumulated merit were even greater, and who were capable of realizing and seeing the Dhamma, were able to realize the truth, just like Venerable Anya Kodanya and the other four of the five ascetics. They realized and saw the Dhamma because they saw that whatever arises must also naturally cease, both of material and mental phenomena. The Dhamma that the Buddha taught is entirely contained within this principle. All 84,000 sections of the Dhamma can be summarized as this: form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and sense consciousness are impermanent, suffering, and not self, or simply they are emptiness. This emptiness itself is precisely form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and sense consciousness, these five aggregates. This alone is the heart of the teaching of the perfectly self-awakened Buddha. We contemplate that everything we have obtained, one day it too must be lost. Nothing remains forever. Therefore, the law of the three characteristics is what teaches and develops our hearts and minds. How should we teach ourselves? Whenever we have feelings of pleasure, satisfaction, or displeasure arise, we teach our mind that these moods and sense impressions are impermanent. They are impermanent, suffering, and not self, not belonging to us. We keep correcting and reminding ourselves continuously. We think, this thing I like very much. Then Venerable Ajahn Chah would teach, it is impermanent and uncertain. We think, this thing I dislike so much, that too is impermanent and uncertain. This is how we prevent our minds from becoming too deeply deluded. Because being deluded by the world, simply means becoming deluded by sense impressions, sense experiences. We become lost in these sense impressions because we lack wisdom, and so we must teach ourselves. We must train, instruct, transform, and discipline our old habits so they improve. Only then can we become people with renewed minds, renewed habits, and with the Buddha nature arising within our hearts. Even as noble disciples of the Buddha, we can free ourselves from suffering according to our merit, accumulated virtues, and the strength of the perfections we ourselves have cultivated and developed. Therefore, on this Visakha Puja day, it is not merely a day for us to seek merit alone. We walk in circumambulation, the first round Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, second round meditating on Dhammo, third round meditating on Sangho, and we do gain merit like this. But there is a merit even higher than that. We should use this occasion to question and remind ourselves, why were we born? What is the purpose of our birth? And how should we live our lives? If in this life we are still filled with suffering, then when we are born again, will we be able to end suffering then? So we must strive to reduce suffering in this very present life. We must learn and cultivate understanding within the heart and allow brightness to arise within ourselves. Even if our minds have accumulated only little merit and virtue, we should contemplate frequently and train ourselves often with wisdom, and then the mind will gradually become peaceful. As we walk in the candle circumambulation, we can observe that the flame of our candle slowly grows dimmer and dimmer, gradually fading away. Our lives are exactly the same. This year, we come again to circumambulate. Next year, who knows whether we still will have this opportunity. Reflect on this to give rise to wisdom. Hurry to cultivate merit and spiritual perfections. Sometimes there are monks who ordain and begin practicing at the age of 60, yet they still possess great diligence and effort. I once asked such a monk, "How is your practice going?" This monk would never miss morning chanting or evening chanting, and fulfilled every monastic duty and practice very well. Even the younger monks could not match his dedication. He replied, "I'm already old, Venerable Sir. I don't know how much time I have left, so I must hurry to cultivate goodness. In the past, I wasted much time and many opportunities while living a worldly life. But now that I have the opportunity to enter the path of Dhamma, I strive and practice with all my strength so that I may truly understand the body and mind as being empty, just as the Buddha taught. Therefore, on this Visakha Puja day, may all of us remain steadfast in our faith. May our faith remain firm forever, until great effort, mindfulness, and wisdom arises within the hearts of you all. May you grow in blessings."